1 John chapter 4, and the first section of 1 John is verses 1 through 6. We're going to read all six verses, and then we're going to focus on verse 1 for the remaining time that we have. 1 John chapter 4, beginning verse 1. Beloved, stop believing every spirit. That's the literal translation. It is a present imperative, I guess, literally be translated, beloved, be believing every spirit. In other words, stop continuing to believe every spirit. But in contrast, test the spirits if they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. In this we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit which is confessing Jesus Christ has come in flesh is from God. The word from is literally from out of, is a source. And every spirit which is not confessing Jesus Christ has come in flesh is not from God, that is, from out of God as a source. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard that is coming and now already is in the world. You are from God, that is, you are from out of God as a source, little children, and you have overcome them. If you get anything out of this section, it should be those words. You have already overcome them. Because greater is the one in you than the one in the world. They themselves are from out of the world as a source. On account of this, they are speaking from out of the world, and the world is hearing them. We are from God, again, out of God as a source. The one knowing God is hearing us. Who is not from out of God is not hearing us. Out of this we know the spirit of the truth and the spirit of the error. Quite a powerful section. We have the commands in verse 1. We have two commands. Stop believing every spirit and be continually testing the spirits. Those are commands. And you say, well, how do we test them? Well, that's verses 2 through 6. We're not going to take today, but we'll start next week. He starts off this section by saying, beloved. He calls Christians beloved. The word means those who are the object of God's love. Beloved ones, those who are the object of God's love. And he's now making a turn and focusing on the Spirit of God. There are four things that we need to carry over from chapter 3 in order to understand the train of thought of John as he's now opening this new section. Number one, a person who has the Spirit of God dwelling in them is purifying himself just as Christ is pure. That is, because Christ lives within, his spirit is continually in the process of keeping me from being contaminated by the things of the world. Secondly, John says the one who is practicing righteousness is righteous because Christ is righteous. So as Christ dwells in me and he is righteous, he is keeping me in line with the Father and disciplining me to do whatever needs to be done to keep me in line with the Father. That's what righteousness means. So I am in the process of being made righteous with God. First of all, Romans 5:1 says that after having believed by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. After having been made righteous, through Christ, through faith, we are now lined up. We've been justified. We've been made righteous. And now Christ in me keeps me lined up with the Father. So I'm in the process of being right with God. And thirdly, love. He says in chapter 3 that the one who has the indwelling of the Spirit of God is loving. He puts it in a subjunctive mood. He says, we should be loving. I mean, if you say you belong to Christ, then you should be loving your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Should be. It's not a command for human performance, which you hear much of today. Because we've been given the command, we should be practicing loving one another. It is impossible for a human being to produce agape love. The verbal form, agapao, we can produce, but not the noun. Love, the love of God. We cannot produce that. Only God can produce it. And as we'll see in this chapter, it's because God is love. That's his nature. So if you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, then you should be loving your brothers and sisters. If you're not, you're not of God. And then fourthly, all of this culminates in what John said in the last verse of chapter 3 that we took last week. We only took one verse, but it's very important, very powerful. It's what we call a pivotal verse. He says, and the one, this is 1 John chapter 3, verse 24, and the one keeping his commandments is dwelling in him, and he, that is God, in him. And in this we know that he is dwelling in us by or from out of the Spirit which he gave to us. Straight across the board in the early church, the only thing they went by as far as a person being saved or not, or a person belonging to Christ or not, is if they had the Spirit of God dwelling in them. Period. Didn't matter what a person said they believed, but rather if they had the indwelling of Christ. If they believe the right things and if they've come and actually experienced a spiritual birth, they will have the Spirit of God dwelling in them. And the Spirit of God will produce the purity. The Spirit of God will produce the righteousness. And the Spirit of God will produce the love. So everything is now spiritual. As I mentioned to you last week in 2 Timothy chapter 4, in the last verse, he says to Timothy in his sign-off that the Lord Jesus Christ is with your spirit. He's not with my flesh. He's not even in my flesh. He's in my body, but he's not in my flesh. The flesh is what the body is made of. God's Spirit dwells inside of my body. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, but not in my flesh. At the end of Romans 7, Paul says that in his flesh dwells no good thing. In fact, in his flesh is the law of sin. It always will be. In Romans 8, he says, therefore, it's impossible for the flesh to keep the law of God. It's hostile against God. It's in rebellion to God and always will be until we put it in the grave, until it's raised up and changed into a spiritual body. But as long as we live in this flesh, the flesh will be rebellious against the things of God. So John says, you see, it's not performance, it's spirit. It's spiritual, not physical. So chapter 4 is all about the Spirit. Beloved, those of you who are the objects of God's love, those of you who have had the Spirit of God poured out upon you and the Spirit of God dwelling in you, to you. Look at the first command. Stop believing every spirit. He did not say, stop believing every teacher. or stop believing every teaching, but stop believing every spirit. You see, behind the teaching and behind the presentation and understanding of the Bible is a spirit. It's either the Spirit of God or it is Satan. As we'll see in a moment, false prophets have already gone out into the world. But by going out into the world, it doesn't mean that they're camped outside the front door of the church. They're in the church. They were in the church in Paul's day. They were in the church in Peter's day. And they both gave warnings. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, Timothy says that the Spirit expressly says that in the last days many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Seducing spirits. Seducing people through fleshly means, but it'll be spiritual. It won't be human. So whatever the case may be, whether you agree with the teaching or doctrine or not, we are commanded to continually do not believe every spirit. Secondly, but test the spirits, plural, if they are from out of God. That's what you're supposed to test the spirits for. Is this spirit from out of God as a source? Did God send this spirit and is properly representing God? If the spirit behind the teaching is not from out of God, I'm supposed to find that out. Again, he didn't say test the teacher. He says test the spirits. Because when it comes to teachers, when it comes to people in ministry, people are swayed by the human. Oh, but he's so sincere. He means well. He expresses such a love for the Lord. And so people are swayed by the persuasion and human sympathy and human appeal and human persuasion. But Paul says, stop believing every spirit, but be continually testing the spirits. Interesting, because the word test, dokimazo, the word used for the testing of metals, as they would subject metals to the heat of the fire and it would burn the dross off, and even through the testing of metal to see if indeed it's the real thing, it's the real metal, or it's false. Be testing the spirits. Put it to the test. Every teacher or minister or representative of Christ should encourage you and feel free to have you test what they say. Not just the words, but the spirit behind it. It can even be a Christian brother or sister that knows the Lord and is saved, just deceived. We don't have the command to follow people. We have the command to follow Christ. But not everybody or everything is Christ. Look at the reason. Here's the reason for the commands. It begins with the word hoti, because. So stop believing every spirit and be continually testing the spirits if they are from out of God as a source. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. They're there now. They're here now. They were there in Paul's day. They're here in our day. But again, like I say, they're not camped out by the front door or protesting out in the streets. They're inside the church, inside the body of Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4, he said to the Christians in Corinth, that's 1 Corinthians 11:4, he says, you're following a different Jesus. That you've received a different spirit, and you're following a different gospel. So he says that there are false apostles coming into the church in Corinth, and they are coming in the name of Jesus, and they are presenting a Jesus Christ. They are using the Bible, and there is a spirit behind the presentation. And Paul says, everything that you're following and everything that these people are giving you is just the opposite. Spirit, scripture, and the name of Jesus than what we gave you. It's a completely different Jesus. It's another Jesus of the same name, but he's not the same Jesus. So I mentioned to you the first hour. Our Western culture knowledge of the name Jesus Christ. Well, many religious groups believe in Jesus Christ. But the question is, and that would come from 1 Corinthians 11:4, which one? There are many different Jesus Christs out there being presented. Which one do you believe in? You're using the scriptures, and I use the same scriptures, but we're using it differently to back up and present whatever Jesus we believe in. But he also presents that there's a spirit behind it all. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 13, that these people who have come in are false apostles, deceitful workers, who are transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. They discipline themselves to fit into what an apostle is supposed to be. It's all man-made. It's all human. But he says, Paul says they're false. In 1 Corinthians 11:14, he says, and this shouldn't surprise you. For Satan himself transforms himself as an angel of light. He does it. Who is the light of the world? Jesus Christ. Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. How do I know the difference? Again, as I mentioned to you the first hour, even with the early disciples, and as they sat around that Passover meal and Jesus said, one of you will betray me, they had no idea who it was. I could have told him, say, well, I read the book. You know, I know which one it is. But for 3 years, they hung out with Judas and served with Judas. And 3 years later, when Jesus said, someone is going to betray me, they didn't know who it was, which meant Judas looked and talked and like everybody else. You couldn't tell. And yet we know from Scripture that he was of the devil from the beginning. So don't be surprised if there's false apostles who are transforming themselves into apostles of Christ, because even Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing, he says, 1 Corinthians 11:15, it is no great thing if his ministers be transforming themselves as ministers of righteousness. Don't be surprised. Anybody who is from the Lord or is sincere in their presentation is going to encourage you, check it out. If you want to receive what I'm telling you and teaching you, fine, but check it out. Not about the teaching itself, because even the cults have some truth in their teaching. In fact, somebody can be 99% correct, and that 1% they're wrong is what kills you spiritually. what leads you astray. What you need to do is continually test the spirits. First of all, don't believe all the spirits all the time. Don't believe every spirit that comes along. But be continually testing the spirits if they're from out of God. That's what you want to know. Every message. I'm very, very impressed upon our time in 2 Timothy where Paul told Timothy to preach the word. He didn't say preach from the word. He said preach the word. That which is already God's inspired word. Don't just use it as you read it and say, here's the basis of my sermon for this morning, then give a sermon that has nothing to do with the word. Preach the word. But we have to test the spirit behind it. Is this spirit from God or not? There are human error that we go through. Is this human error? You know, some people will say, well, he means well. It's just maybe some human error. Well, fine. If it's human error, it's not from God. On the other hand, if the entire influence and presentation is by a spirit and it's not human error, didn't mispronounce a word or forgot to read a line or he said this word in explaining it and he should have said this word. What Jesus is this person presenting? What spirit is presenting it? How are the scriptures used? Beloved, stop believing every spirit. Shows that they were in the process, that they had a habit. Well, that's Brother Fred. We know he's of the Lord and he studied the word, so he can be trusted. Stop it. Stop believing every spirit just because you want to give them the benefit of the doubt. Every spirit presenting the gospel and Jesus Christ has to be tested. Period. Put it to the test to find out if it is from out of God as a source. Don't humanize it. Again, don't give people the benefit of the doubt. Can't say, well, you know how sensitive Brother Bill is. You can't, you know, can't put things to the test. Put it to the test. I can remember someone a few years back, she first heard a tape of ours and she shut it off and she says, this guy's arrogant. He says, this is what the word says, and that's it. Final. Doesn't mean anything different. He says, that's arrogant. How can anybody say that? It's because you put it out there over the years and you say, okay, charismatics and Pentecostals, attack it. Go ahead. Okay, fundamentalists, attack it. Okay, non-believers, attack it. Okay, independent believers, attack it. Is it going to stand up as being truth from the Word of God? So you come to a conclusion that after 40 years, nobody's been able to do it yet. So it's like a challenge. Here's what it says. It's the truth. If it's not the truth, show me. Be ready to show it from the Word. And when people fail to do that, you can put it out there and say, here's what it means. Here's what it says factually. It's been tested through time and through challenge. So when someone is sure what the Word of God says, they encourage people. Put it to the test. Go ahead. We also have a false way of testing. You know, if the church is big and it's got 20,000 people and it's growing, that's a sign of God's blessing. But then when you mention that the Kingdom Hall in town of the Jehovah's Witnesses has been doubling. It's doubled in the last 5 years. People say, well, that's not God. But they're getting bigger. Look at the nice buildings they have, you know? You might notice the buildings. I notice the lawns. The lawns are nice, you know? So you know they got the right guys. God must be really with them. See, that which is a false guide only applies in certain cases, but it won't apply to others. Well, it has to apply straight across the board. We use certain criteria to decipher what is the Spirit of God and what isn't. And most of the time, we're testing things by human means. Again, we're going by logic and reason and feeling. You and I are commanded to stop believing every spirit. Put the spirit to the test. If it's from God. Because in our day, many false prophets, that is those who are pronouncers of God's word, have already gone out into the world. And Paul told us, even in his day, they're in the church. They're apostles and prophets and disciples and pastors and teachers. And don't be surprised, because Satan himself preaches. Satan himself is a pastor. Satan himself is a teacher. So it could be, and many of us have over the years, you could be in a church for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. Then all of a sudden you become enlightened by the word of God, and all of a sudden you see things that you've never seen before, and you realize that it's all false. Not from God at all. I'm not talking about a movement. I'm talking about the Spirit. It's not from out of the Spirit of God at all. It's man's attempt to play church. Next week we will go through the test. He says, in this you will know the Spirit of God. And he gives us a checklist. If we're called to not believe every spirit, and if we're called to test the spirits, then how do we test them? What are we looking for? He'll tell us in verses 2 through 6. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this time, just taking this little chunk of Scripture and how powerful and important it is that we receive from you our instructions, that everything is spiritual, not human, not religious, not physical, that we are not to judge spiritual things by how we feel or how it makes us feel, or what looks good, tastes good, feels good, because even many today, as we know and as we've been a part of, many today are doing church, playing church, but are not seeking out the truth in order to follow Christ. We pray that by your Spirit you would impress these important things upon our hearts, our responsibility to see through the human facade and the human presentation, to go beyond the human logic and reason and put everything to the test, because we must make sure that it is from out of God and not deceiving us. Also impress upon our hearts that as the Bible presents, Satan is very good at what he does. He's very good at presenting himself as being a fellow believer, that even someone that we've received as a believer can actually be an apostle of Satan. So we pray that you would impress upon us to function spiritually, to seek out your Spirit, because your Spirit dwells in us, and your Spirit can minister to our hearts to cause us to see the truth and to see the error. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.